have you actually witnessed a Ukrainian bombing or a Ukrainian attack against civilians that the media blames on Russia?
Yesterday, this rocket came down in the center, and somehow ABC News got a photo of this rocket and said that it was a Russian rocket launched at a Ukrainian positions near the Polish border. The exact same photo from not 500 meters from where I'm sitting right now. In 2015, I was in a soup kitchen in Lugansk, in Lugansk People's Republic, in the village of Pervomaisk. And during this time, in the morning, there had been a rocket attack by Ukrainian forces on this soup kitchen, one of the only places that people could still get their warm soup and food. And we went to document the damage. While we were there, another rocket attack came, and the women and children were saying, how can the Ukrainian government keep doing this? They're killing us. And the Western mainstream media took parts of my video, cut out where the civilians were cursing Peter Poroshenko. This is the exact video. You guys are right on the street. And they said, you can still search it today on YouTube, and they still today have reports saying that it was a rebel rocket attack, when the fact is 100% it was a Ukrainian attack hitting this soup kitchen twice.
Sean Stone with us in studio, and we are now joined by Patrick Lancaster on Skype from Ukraine. And I just decided I'm just going to ask him on air, because I'm just going to either butcher the name of the city or get it wrong. So Patrick, if you don't want to disclose your location now, I understand, but where have you been in Ukraine? What has been kind of your main stationed area, reporting on activity on the ground? And what areas of Ukraine are you going to be reporting on today?
I right now am in Donetsk, and Donetsk is actually the main city or the capital of the anti-Ukraine Donetsk People's Republic area, one of the two breakaway regions that broke away from Ukraine, or at least tried to break away from Ukraine in 2014 following a referendum. And I've actually been here for the vast majority of the last 8-year war that's been going on here. That's what a lot of people don't understand in the West. This war hasn't been just going on for the last couple of weeks. This has been going on for the last almost 8 years. It started May 26, 2014. And I've been here since then covering what's been going on and how it has been happening here. So again, yeah, this is Donetsk, right on the front line of this war, just about 5 miles from where I am right now is the actual front line where there's active battles going on. Just about 40 minutes ago, there was another rocket attack on the suburbs of Donetsk, an area called Makivka. A Ukrainian rocket came down on a civilian area. Now, this is the second day in a row. Yesterday, just about 200 meters from where I'm sitting right now, a Ukrainian Tochka U, or as NATO calls it, Scarab missile, a cluster bomb, which is basically a war crime, came down on a civilian area here in the center of Donetsk, just 200 meters from where I'm sitting right now. And I went there immediately as soon as I heard the explosion, and it was just carnage on the streets. I personally saw 10 civilians lose their life, and the official number is that there was 26 killed and over 50 injured in this attack on the center of Donetsk. And there's no if, ands, or buts. This attack yesterday was perpetrated by the Ukrainian forces on the civilian population of Donetsk.
How many similar attacks have been launched by Ukraine against civilians?
Well, this was the biggest one. 26 dead and over 50 injured in my time here. This is the biggest I've seen. But this is something that happens almost on a daily basis in one area or another in these republics. I have personally been on the scene of shelling attacks, filming the aftermath of these attacks where Ukraine has launched on the just senselessly on the civilian areas, villages, cities, like yesterday, the center of a city. Sometimes it's just villages out in the middle of nowhere. Sometimes it's frontline areas. Sometimes it's farther away from the front line. There's no real reasoning to it. Sometimes it seems that just besides the fact that it's an attack on civilians. Of course, there's attacks on military targets as well, but that's war. These attacks on civilians that's been going on for 5 years is just war crimes and shouldn't be tolerated, no matter what side of any contact line, any war, whether it's in Kiev or in Donetsk or in any other country around the world. The shelling of civilians should not be tolerated.
Yeah. But why is it that the Russians have been unable to secure Donetsk at this point? I mean, it would seem that it's in the east. They've already got this massive convoy outside of Kiev and surrounding Kiev. So why is it that they've been unable to successfully just secure this region at this point?
You know, that's a big that's a big question I have as well. When Russia came in, over almost 3 weeks ago now, and you know this war officially started, I thought by the evening of that first day that Donetsk would no longer be a frontline village. I saw the war starting across Ukraine. I thought, okay, Donetsk is going to be safe from now on, but it's not the case. Attacks from Ukrainian territory onto Donetsk had just increased, and I've been going to the front line almost every day with the Donetsk People's Republic military, and to show what's been going on, and I've been surprised to see that I'm not really seeing any obvious Russian presence here. The kind of question is, where are the Russians, and why aren't they pushing more and helping out more here? It seems to me that right now the Russians are kind of handling more of the west part of the country and leaving the Republic areas to the Republic armies. It's really unclear. But like I said, the city's just been getting more dangerous and more dangerous. There, almost a month ago, the head of the Republic here, Denis Pushilin, the leader of the anti-Ukraine government forces, made a statement to have a evacuation of all women, children, and elderly, and a mandatory mobilization of all men. And that's been going on for the last weeks. And as I said, I've lived here for the last 8 years. My wife is from Donetsk, and we have two children. And after yesterday's attack, I made my wife leave. She's been telling me she don't want to leave and leave me here. But after just seeing so many innocent civilians killed yesterday with my own eyes, yesterday was the first time I ever saw the life leave a human. And it's a horrible thing, and I'll never be the same. Today I made my wife leave with our children, because Donetsk is just coming under intense attacks and the fighting is increasing. But one thing that can be noted, yesterday the Russian Air Force is making its presence more and more known here in Donetsk. Yesterday morning, the center of Donetsk was overflown. They flew right down the river, because there's a big river that is in the middle of the city here. And it was more of a hello to the people, it seemed, to kind of warm people up to these jets going to be coming every day or every hour. Because in the last 8 years, this has been somewhat of a no-fly zone. People living here haven't seen aircraft since the Ukrainian fighter jets and helicopters were over the villages near the Donetsk airport bombing the villages. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people that have a little bit of post-traumatic stress here from aircraft. So it's going to be a hard time for people, but hopefully things will get better.
Well, this is incredible journalism that I'm witnessing from your reports here that we're showing on B-roll. Seriously, award-winning stuff. I know you don't really do this for awards. You'll probably never get one. That's just the corrupt state of the media. But this is seriously incredible stuff. We've got more questions for you on the other side, but I imagine people are going to want to go find all of these videos for themselves. Where can people go find your videos and follow your reports?
YouTube is blocking a lot of, you could say, media that is not following the narrative. But for the time being, I'm still on YouTube and people can search my name, Patrick Lancaster, as well on Twitter with Patrick Lancaster at PL News Today. People can actually support my work through Patreon with as well at PL News Today or Patrick Lancaster News Today, because I'm just an independent crowdfunded journalist. That's how I'm able to do my work.
Well, this is incredible work. If they do end up banning you, I'm sure we'll get you on ban.video. This stuff has to be seen. We'll be right back. Back here on the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. We've got Sean Stone in studio. We also have Patrick Lancaster in Ukraine reporting on the ground. And, you know, Sean, this has been a big issue for you that the lack of coverage on this from the media, how this war has been going on for longer than just the last 3 weeks.
Correct. Exactly. I mean, I always ask people when they're saying, you know, I support Ukraine and the civilians, and can you imagine all the horror of these people dead? I said, you do realize there's been over 60,000 casualties in the eastern regions, Donbass and Donetsk, and this has been obviously been going on since at least 2014. Those that do realize it, of course, will say, oh, but this is Putin's war. This is all, you know, basically Putin has been fighting this war against Ukraine to secede these territories. But Patrick, what can you inform us about actually the origins of this conflict and how much this is actually genuinely Ukrainians that are of Russian, perhaps Russian ancestry or, you know, more akin to Russia, but how much this is a genuine desire for secession, not just Putin and his army trying to break them away from Ukraine? Patrick, you lost your volume. There we go.
People in the West just don't understand exactly what is happening here and what has happened. I mean, this started even before 2014, but we could say a vast majority of it started around the Maidan revolution at the beginning of 2014, when the president of Ukraine was removed from office, Yanukovych. Now, this is a president that many admitted, even here in Donetsk, was not perfect, had a lot of problems, but was democratically elected, and the majority of the people here in the East voted for him to come in, and he was the favorite of this area. And when he was removed from office, and a new government was installed in 2014, the eastern regions were in shock. They felt like their government was removed without them having to say anything about it. The events with Crimea and Crimea. Some say annexed, the Crimeans themselves say returned home to Russia. That's what the population of Crimea says. They returned home from Russia, because anyone born in Crimea, born before 1956, was born in a Russian Crimea. That's a whole different issue. But after Crimea was taken back into Russia after the referendum, the locals here in Donetsk and the more northern Lugansk region saw Crimea become part of Russia, and they said, wow, maybe we have a chance to do this as well, because we're ethnic Russians here. That's what they are. They're ethnically Russians. Ukrainian language is not spoken here. This these are Russian people, and they themselves here in Donetsk and Northern Luhansk declared their independence and declared that they would have a referendum or vote to break away from Ukraine. And that's what they did. I was here. I conducted exit polls and filmed inside the polling stations, as I did in Crimea during the referendum in Crimea. And the vast majority, overwhelmingly, of the population here and in Lugansk and in Crimea were all for breaking away from Ukraine. They voted for this with their own right of self-determination. And after they did this and started to create their borders, Ukraine attacked and then blamed a Russian invasion. Ukraine and the United States claimed Russia was invading Ukraine in 2014. Well, I think they see now what a real Russian invasion is. And the fact is, the farmers, the miners, they all took up arms here in Donetsk and Lugansk to try to break away from Ukraine. And they've been trying ever since, for almost the last 8 years, since May 26, 2014. And I've been watching the whole time they've been doing it. I've been embedded here the whole almost 8 years now. And I've seen the struggles of these people. I've seen the attacks, like I said, on just indiscriminate civilian areas and targeting of civilian infrastructure. Just a month ago, before this whole invasion of new war started, Ukraine was targeting electric power plants in other civilian infrastructure. The fact is, these are the civilians. This was the will of the people of Donetsk and Lugansk areas to break away from this new Ukraine that they look at as not part of their Ukraine. Many of these people were patriotic Ukrainians before the war, but they view this new Ukraine as somewhat of a zombie Ukraine because it's not their real Ukraine. And after they've seen the government bomb their homes, kill their children. These are facts. Yesterday, I personally saw 10 civilians killed by this rocket attack by Ukraine. I saw the life leave their body because of this senseless attack by Ukraine on this civilian areas. And these people still are fighting. And now that Russia has officially recognized them, both the Donetsk and Lugansk republics, and is fully entrenched in war now, people here are praying and hoping that these hostilities come to an end soon and the dying stops, because this senseless attacks on civilians cannot continue. Firing on civilians on any side of any contact line, it can never be tolerated and should never be tolerated.
You know, Patrick, the more I listen to you describe the situations over there on the ground and geopolitically, the more it sounds like, when talking about what Ukraine is up to in the area, the more it sounds like the American left. They're the violent ones in this country, but they claim they're oppositionists. They're the ones that hold political opposition prisoner. They're the ones that censor free speech. They're the ones that burn American cities, attack American cities, and lie about all of it throughout the course. I mean, if you don't want to make the correlation, you can pass on it. But I mean, and I'm not sure how much you follow geopolitically the situation in America now breaking down, but it sounds, the more you talk, the more it sounds like you're describing the American left. It seems to be mirrored by the actions of Ukraine.
You know, my biggest strong point that I try to keep in my reportings is I report exactly what I see, and I try my hardest to keep my opinions out of my work just because it's so hard to put the truth out that doesn't necessarily go.
Well, I don't mean to put you in a spot. So if you want to pass on that question, in fact, I'll draw it back because I don't want to put you in that position. I respect what you're saying. So let me just ask you this. Do you believe, or have you actually witnessed, a Ukrainian bombing or a Ukrainian attack against civilians that the media blames on Russia?
Yesterday, this a rocket came down on the center, and somehow ABC News got a photo of this rocket and said that it was a Russian rocket launched near at a Ukrainian positions near the Polish border. The exact same photo from not 500 meters from where I'm sitting right now. I've had my reports taken by the mainstream media and lied about. I'll give you an exact example. In 2015, I was in a soup kitchen in Lugansk, in Lugansk People's Republic, in the village of Pervomaisk. And during this time, in the morning, there had been a rocket attack by Ukrainian forces on the soup kitchen, one of the only places that people could still get their warm soup and food. And we went to document the damage. While we were there, another rocket attack came, and the women and children were saying, how can the Ukrainian government keep doing this? They're killing us. And the Western mainstream media took parts of my video, cut out where the civilians were cursing Peter Poroshenko. This is the exact video. You guys are right on the street. And they said, you can still search it today on YouTube, and they still today have reports saying that it was a rebel rocket attack, when the fact is 100% it was a Ukrainian attack hitting this soup kitchen twice. And while I was doing that report, that's when the shells came in again. If you play that a little bit farther, you can see where the impact itself happens, right here. And I run underneath tables with the civilians here as they're cursing Poroshenko for killing them. That woman who's in front of me right now, she is cursing Poroshenko. Her husband had just died the morning before from these senseless attacks. This is a soup kitchen. This was one of the only places left in the village that people could get food.
This is incredible stuff from Patrick Lancaster. Patrick, stay right there. I want to carry you over at least two more segments into the next hour. I know Sean Stone to my right, chomping at the bit to get a word in edgewise, so we'll be right back with him.
EvaTacPlus.com. EvaTacPlus.com. Folks, you all know that InfoWars has been looking for really good sponsors that are top flight, that are high-quality products, that we can stand behind and celebrate and be excited about. And I have literally prayed to get some great sponsors after the globalists threatened and harassed and everything else, our other good sponsors away. And now, because so many Americans know that giving in to tyranny doesn't make it go away, a lot of great sponsors are coming along to support us. And EvaTac is one of those companies. EvaTacPlus.com. When you go to that website, the site right here on screen, you get access to just amazing tactical gear and bags and knives and daggers and so much other survival gear. All of it is just the very best you're going to find out there. But if you were trying to buy one of these knives, and they're exactly the same at one of the big stores like Cabela's, it'd be $100, $200. We're talking $20, $30, $40. For these knives, and they are high-end. And let me just tell you, this is a real Special Forces-style dagger. I mean, if things really break down and you got to protect yourself, this is just absolutely amazing, top of the line, and it is so inexpensive. It's ready to ship, it's quality, and they are financing the InfoWar. The folks over at EvaTacPlus.com. EvaTacPlus.com.
Patrick Lancaster is really doing heroic work in Ukraine. In fact, probably the best journalism I've seen out of Ukraine. I'm glad he's with us today. Sean Stone is with us as well. He's been following this story for almost a decade now, and you were just hearing Patrick's coverage in that last segment, shaking your hand, confirming everything that you already knew.
I mean, essentially, it's what we've all known, is that the media is a bunch of liars, and they're perpetuating the propaganda issued to them by their, you know, by the, whether it's State Department, Pentagon, talking heads, right? I mean, I saw it in Iraq. I saw the whole buildup to the war. You know, when Scott Ritter, the former UN inspector, came to Princeton, where I was at in school, and he presented, and he said, "Look, there's just no evidence of WMDs. I inspected. I know this country. This, it doesn't add up. What they're selling you doesn't add up." And, you know, sure enough, you know, thereafter we realized it was conspiracy to create this whole, you know, yellow cake story. And it was done with British intelligence and intentional, you know, lie. And this is conspiracy to commit war. There should have been literally Nuremberg trials, you know, were about this, right? The conspiracy to commit an aggressive war, an invasion of another country. Cheney, Wolfowitz, everyone, you know, around the Bush administration should have been brought before criminal trials. So it's shocking now that we have the same people selling us the war, the Wolf Blitzers and others, and at the same time, you have these people in the UK who are complicit in literally selling the fake Niger story to the US, now saying we should put Putin before the ICC. I mean, we're in clown world. We knew that we were in clown world the last 2 years. It's really full blown at this point, you know, fun house.
And I was explaining in a break, like, the liberals at the time, the American left at the time, they were very anti-Bush. They called him a war criminal. Now all of a sudden they love Bush. They love McCain. They love the Cheneys.
Well, it's not really a surprise when you think about where were these so-called liberals when the vote for war came. There were, what, a handful of Democrats that voted against the war in Iraq? It was Clinton, Hillary, and Biden. All these guys were all for it. I mean, Biden was one of the architects of that war. So they're not liberals. They're just, you know, they maybe when it comes to some abortion issues or something, they're more liberal. I mean, what it makes them liberal? There's nothing about their policies that you can really consider like classically liberal, I would say. In fact, you know, at some levels, you could say there's a debate between whether it's fascist or socialist, but the Nazis themselves were national socialists. So it's all about control, you know, state control, state marriage with big corporations, controlling the middle class as much as possible, obliterating the middle class, and then basically getting the, you know, division between the, what used to be class wars turned into race war.
Patrick Lancaster with us as well from Ukraine. We've got 2 minutes left in this segment and then a short break and we'll be back. But what is the current emotion or tension like right now in your region? And do you think that translates to all of Ukraine or is it just really where you're at mostly?
Well, I think the difference in opinions and feelings right now of what's happening is a lot different on both sides of the front line. And on this side, the pro-Russian or the ethnic Russian side of the front line, or however you want to put it, the feeling is more of hoping things will be over soon, thanking Russia for the help, and just trying to stay alive until this war is over, because the people see things are changing now. The Donetsk People's Republic, the anti-Ukraine republic here, their forces with the help of Russia every day is recapturing, or as they put it, liberating these villages who were part of the Republic before and in 2014 were taken by Ukraine. And every day, more and more villages are being put under control of DPR, Lugansk forces and Russian forces. And I'm going out to these locations every day, every other day to report on these situations. And it's really amazing the reactions I see with the people, how happy they are to be back under control of DPR and Russian forces.
Patrick Lancaster is with us in Ukraine. We got a short break here, Patrick, just 90 seconds. Sean Stone with us in studio as well. One more segment with Patrick on the other side. We'll get his final comments and the overall dynamic of what Russia is doing in Ukraine. We'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, final segment with Patrick Lancaster. Just incredible work that he's doing. Twitter at PL News Today and YouTube Patrick Lancaster News Today. Telegram Patrick Lancaster News Today. And Patrick, I'd like to invite you right now, if you're free to come back and give an update next or this Friday of next week. But Just your final thoughts, and I guess I'll pose to you the question like this. How much of what Russia is doing in Ukraine is the smaller issue of liberating these parts of Ukraine from the influence of corrupt Western politicians and governments and NATO, and how much of this is a larger issue for Russia just putting its foot down from the incursion of the globalist phenomenon. What do you think, Patrick Lancaster?
Well, I think this has been a very strategical effort on both sides, both on the Russian side and on the Western side, to try to use Ukraine as somewhat of a chess piece. But the fact is, these people here in the East, in the Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics, they're ethnically Russian, as we said, and these people want to have the right to self-determination, and Ukraine did not want to let them do that and let them say where they want their children to grow up, what they want their land to be part of. And Russia is helping them to make that happen. Russia for the last 2 years has also been granting Russian citizenship to the locals here. And it's just been almost a stepping stone. And then weeks ago is when Russia recognized the republics as independent and then came in to, you could say, stop the war, but you could say invade Ukraine, or you could say, as Putin said, the denazification and demilitarization of Ukraine. There's many ways, depending on where you're sitting and what seat, you can call this situation a lot of different things. But the fact is, the locals here in Donetsk and Luhansk, where I've been for the last 8 years, have been praying for Russia's help to stop Ukraine from shelling their homes and killing their children. And this is a fact. And this is what's happening now.
So you mentioned the denazification, and you may have seen my father's film Ukraine on Fire, which helped to explain a little bit of that history of the Nazis in Ukraine, going obviously the real Nazi party in Ukraine and the lineage of the Nazis and neo-Nazis. Can you talk about the various neo-Nazi forces, Azov Battalion, and other forces, Right Center, all these different right faction or whatnot. One of these, there's a whole number of these. What is it?
Right sector,
and a whole bunch of these militias, essentially, that have been at the forefront of this war in the East, if I'm correct, and how they've also been then brought into the overall Ukrainian services. So, how infiltrated by Nazis and neo-Nazis is Ukraine's government and military at this point?
The exact extent of it is hard to say, but I can say, yes, there are these battalions, Right Sector, Aydar, Azov, who you mentioned, who have a reputation of mistreating the populations very much, mistreating civilians. And a lot of people in the West maybe think, oh, denazification, ha, 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 it's just an excuse or something. But the fact is, as you said, and as your father has pointed out, there is a Nazi presence in Ukraine. Many of them are proud of it. It's just a fact that it still exists. And Russia and Vladimir Putin says they are ending that. And the locals here, there's a big split even before the war of the West, how they look at Stepan Bandera as a hero of the people, when here in the East, they look at Stepan Bandera as a Nazi who helped Germany slaughter many. So the divide is intense. And yes, there are proud Nazis still in Ukraine, and Vladimir Putin says he is getting rid of them.
And it's the wildest thing when we see the Azov Battalion putting their children on camera with rifles, with the Nazi Black Sun flag behind them. I mean, that's literally, you might as well have an SS uniform and a Hitler mustache. I mean, it's like one step down from that. Yeah, there it is right there. And the left says, oh, look at this Ukrainian. Look at how great they are. Look at them with their kids. That's literally a one-off of a Nazi flag that remains in Ukraine. I mean, when you see this stuff, when the people of Ukraine have been victimized by these criminals see this stuff, I mean, does that break their heart? Do they get mad? I mean, what are they? Do they think Americans are nuts?
They don't understand what the West is thinking. I mean, the people here are already numb. I mean, 8 years ago when this war started, everybody was staying in their bomb shelters and hiding from the West and the Western supplied weapons. But now they're numb to this. Every day something new comes up from the West that surprises them or should surprise them, but they're already numb to it. I mean, they see... If any shell hits any civilians in Ukraine, they see it all over the news. But you don't see what happened yesterday, how these 26 people got massacred here in Donetsk by Ukraine.
No, and I would bet you they won't either. Your groundbreaking coverage will not be shown anywhere in the States. And if it is, they'll say it was Russia.
Yes. That's for sure. Ukraine already says. Ukraine said it was a Russian rocket. And it's just idiocy. Insane.
Patrick, one more time, let people know where they can follow your groundbreaking work.
On YouTube at Patrick Lancaster News Today, Twitter at PL News Today, and they can support my work at Patreon/ PL News Today because I'm an independent crowdfunded journalist.
And I'll take the leap here and just say, if you ever do get banned on there, we'll make sure you have a platform at band.video. And if you are able and willing to come on with me on Friday to just give another update, I'd appreciate that as well. So guys, let's get Patrick scheduled for Friday if he possibly can. Sean Stone in studio with us. Final words from you.
I mean, what more is there to say? This conflict, Patrick, as you know, I mean, Ukraine, I think just to contextualize it for people, I keep emphasizing, I'm like, you know, Ukraine is a multicultural country. It's, you know, at least half the population has a Russian ancestry, a large Russian speaking population. It's just, we are in denial when we think that Ukraine is naturally an anti-Russian Western country that hates Russia, that all this propaganda, all this movement that we've seen the last 8 years. What's your take there? I mean, has Ukraine gone farther nationalist in the last 8 years? Do most Ukrainians hate Russia, or do you feel like it's a very split country?
There has been more anger towards Russia, of course, in the last 8 years, especially in these last weeks. So it's going to be a long time before either the Russians on this side of the country can respect the Western side and vice versa. There's a huge divide, and it's going to be here for generations, I think. But everything needs to be done with little steps, little bits at a time. Just the people need to stop dying now. That should be the first one on everyone's plate, is to stop these civilians from dying. And like you see this woman here on the screen, her parents... Yeah, that woman. Her parents are lying dead in that car. When I went up and filmed my report, their phone was ringing, and it became clear that their daughter, her, who was just crying over their body, was trying to call them to see if they were still alive, and they weren't. And this is something that happens so often, and it's just so hard to see. But I do my best to show the world what's really happening here.
And we thank you for that. And we thank you for that. God bless and Godspeed, Patrick. Thank you, and thank you, Sean Stone.
Got it.
Two of our best-selling products are back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. And they will sell out in the next 3-4 months before I get more of the product in if I sell it at full price. But I want those of you that have been on the fence about getting Winter Sun or getting X3 to try the products and see how amazing they are. And I believe you will then get hooked on them like myself, my family, and the crew are. So again, both these products are back in stock. Both X3 and Winter Sun, they are 50% off for a limited time because they're going to sell out at this price, I would estimate, in less than a month. So this is your chance to get X3 and experience the good halogens versus the bad halogens. This is your chance to have the highest quality vitamin D3 with vitamin K for your immune system as well. They're amazing, and they're at InfoWarsStore.com. And the reason this is a 360 win is it funds the operation. I need funds to run the operation. You need to be healthy. We need to stay on air. It's a match made in heaven.